Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hello, is this Uri Afneri?
Yes.
Hello, this is Jenka Soderberg. I talked to you before one time and did an interview for Pacifica Radio.
Yes.
Would you be able to do a short interview with me for today?
When?
Now, if possible.
Okay, do it now.
Okay. Could you speak a little bit on the response of the Israeli left to the ongoing invasion in Lebanon and the ongoing war between Israel and Lebanon? I understand there have been some peace protests.
About the response of the Israeli
Left.
government.
No, the Israeli left, the
The
peace
left, you mean?
movement. Yes.
Depends what you call left.
How about in the peace bloc?
Okay. You want me to speak now?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. The active Israeli peace movement, which has been demonstrating against this war from the first moment, and led by Gush Shalom, is against the draft proposed by the United States and France, because it will not lead to a ceasefire. It is an exercise, a diplomatic exercise designed to avoid or prevent a ceasefire, because the conditions put up there are unacceptable to Hezbollah, and I would say to the Lebanese in general, and therefore it's just pretending to call for a ceasefire while in reality allowing the government of Israel to continue with the war. On the other hand, the proposal by the Lebanese government seems to be the right way to stop the fighting, and we are for it, of course.
Now, do you think that there's a chance that the Israeli government would move towards accepting that proposal from Hezbollah?
Will you please repeat?
Does it seem to you that there's a chance that the Israeli government would move towards accepting the terms set forth by the Lebanese government?
I did not quite get it. Will you please repeat it again?
Yes, no problem. Do you think the Israeli government that there's a chance they might accept what the Lebanese government has presented, the peace terms?
Well, it depends on President Bush, doesn't it? It's President Bush who decides what the Israeli government will accept and will not accept. If at this stage when President Bush said, please accept it, that is it. If President Bush says, don't accept it, go on fighting, that will go too. And I think this is what President Bush is telling us at this moment. President Bush is very much disappointed. With this war, he started this war. He called on the Israeli government to attack. He sustained us throughout the war. He's sending us bombs, rushing bombs to us, so we can continue the bombardment of Lebanon. And I wonder exactly what he is thinking, if you can call it thinking. He is, of course, under strong pressure from the Arab government, from America's allied Arab government, to stop the fighting before Lebanon breaks up altogether. On the other hand, he would like Israel to go on fighting. He perhaps this idea that Syria would get involved in this war, but it is very difficult to divine what he really has in mind.
Now, Condoleezza Rice has talked about the birthing pangs of the new Middle East. Some in the U.S. administration have also talked in these terms that the war in Iraq and this current war between Israel and Lebanon would lead somehow to a new Middle East. Are you aware of that? And what's your opinion?
Well, it is leading to a new Middle East, but a Middle East which will be much worse for the United States and for Israel. What President Bush is doing is turning Hezbollah into the national hero of hundreds of millions of Arabs and more than a billion Muslims who now all admire Nasrallah as the greatest Arab hero since I don't know who. He has created an alliance between Shiites and Sunnis because, of course, in this axis of supporting Hezbollah, Syria, which is a Sunni country, is an integral part. He also has created an alliance between the Shiite Hezbollah and the Sunni Hamas. The Palestinians are all Sunnis. And he has created, in the meantime, a Shiite Iraq. Iraq is now governed by Shiites, which are closely allied with Iran, and which now openly support Hezbollah. By the way, the only thing in which Shiites and Sunnis in Iraq are united is in their support of Hezbollah. So if this is a new Middle East which Mr. Bush and Mr. Olmert had in mind, doesn't seem to be a very beautiful picture.
Could you speak briefly on the move of Amir Peretz from a person who was a supporter of peace to now being a war minister who is very much pushing for the expansion of this war?
Well, Mr. Peretz, who went to last elections only 4 months ago, as a great social reformer, as a man who would take the money away from the army and give it to education and welfare, has turned into a monster. He is now the biggest warmonger in Israel, worse than the Prime Minister, Ehud Olmert. He's become the spokesman of the army, of the militarist clique. And he is, I think, in a way pathetic. He's even ridiculous when he speaks about, I've given orders to the army to do this and that. He sounds plain ridiculous. Who's he to give orders to anyone? He is like a fly standing on the ear of an oxen and saying, we are bluffing.
Could you explain that?
I beg your pardon?
Could you expand on that?
Yes, he's completely unimportant. He's a civilian. He has never been in the army at all, except on a little job. He's never been a fighting soldier. He hasn't any idea what war is about. And the only thing he can do when the chief of staff and his generals tell him to do this or that is to stand at attention and fulfill it. He's not a man who plays any real role in this war.
Are you aware of a group of Jewish Moroccan lawyers who are presenting a case against Amir Peretz in Moroccan courts as a war criminal?
Yes, I've read this. But of course, this is not serious. It's a kind of protest, yes. I know the people, by the way. They are very good people. One of them is Mr. Sarfati, has been for many, many years in Moroccan prisons because he's a left-wing opposition person.
I understand also that a group of Lebanese Jews has spoken out against the war. Are you aware of that?
Yes, I've heard about this too. Yes, but of course they live in Lebanon and they experience this terrible onslaught at the Lebanese end, and I do understand them.
And what about the Israeli public? Have they been mainly supportive of this war?
Come again, please?
What about the Israeli public? Has the Israeli public been mainly supportive of this war?
There's been an overwhelming national consensus in favor of the war at the beginning. It still is, but now you hear a lot of criticism, not so much against the war as such, but against the lack of planning, which allowed for a situation where hundreds of thousands of Israelis are now living in shelters for weeks. It's a terrible situation in many places in the north of Israel. People can't leave the shelters. They are vegetating there, and they are demanding to be evacuated. And this is the poor part of the population, because the rich and well-to-do have left the north long ago. This war brought untold suffering on the Israelis too, and there's much criticism of the government for not providing for this. About the war itself, there is this, I think people are thinking about it again. I think our message is being absorbed by many thinking people. But of course, when you are being bombarded by rockets, 150 rockets per day, it's not a good atmosphere for logical thinking.
And what about the so-called Arab Israelis? Has there been a different stance that they have taken? And are they being affected more by rocket fire than in other places?
In the north of Israel, the area of Israel which is under rocket fire, about 50% of the population is Arab. So it's logical that 50% of the rockets are hitting Arabs. That they're in a very specially terrible situation, because in their hearts they support the Lebanese side and believe that the war is unjust and should not have been started at the beginning. At the same time, they are becoming victims of the rocket war. And yes, this is a very difficult situation for them.
I know the mayor of Nazareth pointed out that the security bulletins are only issued in Hebrew and not in Arabic.
I hope that by now this has been repaired. Actually, Jewish Israelis could not really imagine that Hezbollah would bombard indiscriminately Arab towns and villages too, and therefore I don't think that any preparations have been made. Nor did the Arab population itself make any preparation. They have been killed in such numbers because they do not really react as the Jewish people do. The Jewish people went into their shelters at the first moment. For the Arabs, it took some time to realize that they are also in deadly danger.
And some, at least in Nazareth that I've talked to, have said that there are weapons facilities near Nazareth that may be what the Hezbollah rockets are attempting to target when they hit Nazareth. Are you aware of that?
You must repeat that too, I'm afraid.
Yes, some people in Nazareth have told me that they believe Hezbollah may be targeting weapons facilities that are near Nazareth.
That Hezbollah has been doing what?
Targeting weapons facilities that are near Nazareth.
I don't think that Hezbollah knows exactly what it is shooting at. These rockets are very imprecise weapons. You cannot really pinpoint your target. You send them in the general direction of towns and villages. I don't think that they have any intention of hitting Nazareth. certainly not, or any intention of hitting in a mixed town like Haifa to hit an Arab neighborhood. They are not able to pinpoint their target in such a precise way.
And, well, the last time I talked to you, right after the seizure of Gilad Shalit in Gaza, you spoke about how you believed things were going to get a lot worse.
Yes.
Unfortunately, you seem to have been proven right. What do you think is going to happen now in the future?
In the north or in the south? Or in both?
In both, if you can.
I think in the north, some kind of ceasefire will be achieved. I very much hope so. This war is going on and on. I mean, no one would have believed that Hezbollah can hold up for more than 4 weeks. It's incredible in a way. And I don't think the Americans can afford this war to go on, because the terrible pictures coming out of Lebanon are inciting the Arab masses against the United States. So I think that sooner or later the Americans will bring together a ceasefire agreement for what it's worth, because without a real political settlement, including Syria and including the Hezbollah, there will be no real end to this war. In the south, the situation is much worse, because no one pays any attention anymore to what's happening in Gaza, and what's happening in Gaza is as bad and maybe worse than what's happening in Lebanon. The Israeli army is operating there at will. There's no military resistance as there is in Lebanon, and there's no international outcry and no international interest at all in what's happening there, and therefore things are there getting from bad to worse.
You had previously made an analogy on the 15th day of the war, saying that when a heavyweight boxer goes against a featherweight and the featherweight is still standing in the 15th round, it's a victory of sorts. Is that what you are meaning when you say that Hezbollah is still around, still fighting in the fourth week?
Well, it's incredible, isn't it? It's a small guerrilla organization, which the Israeli army calls a terrorist organization, with about 1,200 fighters altogether, are standing up to this mighty Israeli army, the fifth strongest army in the world, and no sign of breaking. This by itself is an incredible victory.
All right. Thank you very much. I've been speaking with Uri Avneri, with the Israeli Peace Bloc.
Okay, thank you. Shalom.
Thank you.